بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. We have with us inshallah ta'ala Abu Abdurrahman Fawzi al-Athari hafidhahullah to talk about the life of Sheikh Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, his life, his aqidah and his minhaj.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين لأن الله تقدست أسماؤه اختص من خلقه من أحب فهداهم للإيمان ثم اختص من سائر المؤمنين من أحب فتفضل عليهم فعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وفقههم في الدين وعلمهم التأويل وفضلهم على سائر المؤمنين وذلك في كل زمان وأوان رفعهم بالعلم وزينهم بالحلم بهم يعرف الحلال والحرام والحق من الباطل والضار والنافع والحسن من القبيح والبدعة من السنة والخطأ من الصواب فضلهم عظيم ورثة الأنبياء وقرة عين الأولياء ومن هؤلاء ولست أشك شيخنا وأستاذنا وقدوتنا العلامة الشيخ محمد بن صالح العثيمين رحمه الله تعالى وجعل الجنة مثواه وجمعنا به مع من أنعم الله عليهم في جنات النعيم آمين.
Sheikh Fawzi al-Athari, rahimahullah, al-hafidhahullah, the Sheikh, he says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ رَيَ اللَّهَ may he be glorified, has chosen who he wills from amongst his creatures, those who he loved, and guided them to Iman. And he has chosen from them, from the believers that he loves, those who have granted knowledge to, knowledge of the book and the sunnah. He granted them understanding of the deen and taught them its meaning. And he preferred them over the rest of the believers. And that is in every place and every time. He raised them with knowledge, beautified them with forbearance. To them it was known what is halal and what is haram. To them it was known what is haq and what is batil, what is harmful and what is beneficial, what is good and what is evil or ugly. To them it is known that which is bid'ah and that which is sunnah, and that which is correct and that which is incorrect. Their virtue of honors is great. They are the inheritors of the prophets, alayhim salam. They are the coolness of the eyes of those who are the allies of Allah ta'ala. And amongst them, and he does not doubt this, is his sheikh, his ustad, his guide and example, the great allama, a sheikh, Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. And may Allah place his abode in the Jannah and gather us and gather him together upon those who Allah Ta'ala has blessed in the blessed Jannah. Ameen, ameen.
Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala tafaddala ala shaykhina bihada al-ilm wa razaqahu ilm al-kitab wa sunnah wa Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala yastafi wa yakhtar من عباده فيتفضل على البعض في العلم وعلى البعض في المال وعلى البعض في الجاه إلى آخر ذلك. والله سبحانه وتعالى تفضل على شيخنا بالعلم علم التوحيد وعلم العقيدة وعلم الحديث وعلم أصول الفقه وعلم النحو وعلم الفرائض وغير ذلك من العلوم. وشيخنا رحمه الله تعالى نادر قليل في هذا العصر في العصر الحاضر لقلة العلماء المتمكنين الربانيين ووفاة الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى كانت على المسلمين عامة مصيبة عظيمة، وعلى السلفيين خاصة مصيبة عظيمة. والشخص وإن كان لم يدرس على الشيخ مباشرة وفرط في هذا الأمر، فعليه أن لا يفرط في دراسة كتب الشيخ وهي موجودة ومتيسرة ومتوفرة باللغة الإنجليزية، هذه موجودة كذلك، وكذلك الأشرطة. وتكلم شيخنا رحمه تعالى في التوحيد وفي العقيدة وفي الفقه وفي النحو وفي أصول الفقه وفي القواعد الفقهية وفي عدة علوم، فعلى كل مسلم أن يحرص على هذه الكتب وعلى هذه الأشرطة، لأن علم الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى نادر وقليل في هذا الزمان، وشيخنا متمكن من العلوم الشرعية. فبالعلم أو بأخذك بالعلم الذي عند الشيخ لك فيه نجاة في الدنيا وفي الآخرة، وفيه العلم النافع، وفي كتبه وأشرطته الدين الصحيح والإسلام الصحيح في التوحيد خاصة وفي العقيدة. ولا يخفى عليكم ما في اختلاف في الأمة كما ذكرنا في الخطبة، خطبة الجمعة، اختلفت الأمة في التوحيد وفي العقيدة، وشيخنا رحمه الله تعالى بيّن بيانا شافيا في هذه المسألة ورد الأمر إلى نصابه. فعلينا أن لا نفرط في كتب الشيخ وفي أشرطة الشيخ إذا أردت النجاة. وكم من إنسان يريد أن ينجو ويعرف الحق ويعرف الباطل، فعليك بكتب شيخنا رحمه الله تعالى فتعرف الحق. وتكلم وبين وكشف الباطل فسوف تعرف الباطل كذلك. ومعرفة الحق وإصابة الحق أمر مهم خاصة في هذا الزمان، اختلط الحابل بالنابل. ومعرفة الباطل واجتنابه أمر مهم كذلك، لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول: ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن اعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت. فالله سبحانه وتعالى بين الأصل الأول، أن اعبدوا الله، أي يحث الله سبحانه وتعالى على معرفة الحق، وهذا واجب لكي تنجو. وتأخذ به وتدعو إليه. واجتنب الطاغوت، الأصل الثاني معرفة الباطل واجتنابه. فعندنا أصلان ذكرهم الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن، أن اعبدوا الله هذا الأصل الأول، واجتنبوا الطاغوت هذا الأصل الثاني. فلا بد علينا
أن نعرف ونجمع بين معرفة الحق والأخذ به ومعرفة الباطل واجتنابه. وهذان الأصلان يبطل قول أهل الباطل، أهل البدع، أهل التحزب، الذين يقولون لا حاجة إلى معرفة الباطل، فقط أعرف الحق ولا تحتاج أن تعرف الباطل. فأنت أخذ الحق من جميع الناس ولا حاجة إلى معرفة أو قراءة كتب الردود على أهل البدع وعلى أهل التحزب، فلا تجمع بين معرفة الحق ومعرفة الباطل، فقط خذ الحق. وهذا القول باطل بلا شك. فكما الرجل والشخص أمره الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يعرف الحق ويأخذ به، أمره الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يعرف الباطل ويجتنب هذا الباطل. ولذلك كما قال الإمام الأوزاعي فيما أخرجه ابن عبد البر في جامع بيان العلم إسناد صحيح: أعرف الخطأ كما تعرف الصواب، أعرف الخطأ كما تعرف الصواب. لماذا قال ذلك؟ تعرف الخطأ لكي تجتنب الخطأ. فإذا لم تعرف الخطأ تسقط فيه، ما تعرف الشر تسقط فيه. وهذا الذي حصل لأهل التحزب عندما تعلموا بزعمهم الحق سقطوا في الباطل وهم لا يشعرون، لأن لا يستطيع أن يميز. فلا بد أن تعرف البدعة والسنة، وتعرف الخطأ والصواب، وتعرف الحق والباطل. فالبدعة تجتنب البدعة والسنة تأخذ بها. وهذا أصل من أصول أهل السنة والجماعة، فبينوا الحق ونشروه لكي يؤخذ به الناس، وردوا على أهل الباطل ونشروا الباطل لكي يجتنب الباطل. فلذلك تجد أهل الحديث يعرفون الحق ويعرفون الباطل، فلم ينحرفوا نهائيا، بقوا على الصراط المستقيم. والذي قال أنا أخذ الحق فقط ولا أتعلم الباطل، ففي مسيرته في الدعوة إلى الحق بزعمه سقط في الباطل ولا يشعر. نعم.
شيخ فوزي الأثري حفظه الله says: الله تبارك وتعالى chose for our Sheikh knowledge. Knowledge of the book of Allah and knowledge of the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the choosing of Allah tabaraka ta'ala, for Allah chooses who He wills from His creatures. And He gives to His creatures that which He wills. He gives some of His creatures knowledge. He grants some of His creatures money and wealth. And He grants some of His creatures position. He gives each of His creatures that which He wants to give them. And the Shaykh, rahimahullah, was a possessor of knowledge. Someone who Allah tabaraka ta'ala granted knowledge to. Knowledge of Tawheed. Knowledge of the sound Aqeedah. Knowledge of Hadith. Knowledge of Fiqh and its Usul, its principles. Knowledge of Nahu, grammar. Knowledge of Thara'id, the science of inheritance. And the Shaykh, rahimahullah, was the rare one of his time. It is rare in this present day that we are living in to find someone who is like the Sheikh, a scholar, a well-grounded and established scholar, the scholar of the type that is called Rabbaniyin. And because of the sincerity to Allah Ta'ala,
and then knowledge based on Kitab or Sunnah, and them starting with the basic fundamentals in teaching people, and then building up on that. So therefore, the death of this great Sheikh, rahimahullah, was a very great loss and trial to the Muslims in general, and to the Salafiyin, or those up on the Dawah of Salafiyya in particular. And if we were not blessed to study with the Sheikh directly, or to meet him in his lifetime, let us not lose the opportunity now to study his books. Let us not be lax and lazy and short in studying the books of the Sheikh, rahimahullah. For his books are here, and are many, and are easy to obtain. They're plentiful, and they're in the Arabic language, and even some of them are in the English language. And also the cassette tapes of the Sheikh, of his lectures, for he spoke about Tawheed clearly. He spoke about Aqeedah. He spoke about Fiqh. He spoke about Arabic grammar. He taught and spoke Usul al-Fiqh and so on and so forth. For it's for us to benefit from his book and from his tapes, because his knowledge was of a rare type, of a well-established, well-grounded scholar in the sciences of Islam. And this is something that must be understood. So he wants to success and achieve success. He is to go to the book of the Sheikh, rahimahullah, and the tapes of the Sheikh, and benefit from them, and benefit from them. For this is the means of success and achieving knowledge. So he goes on to say that the Sheikh, rahimahullah, really stressed the issue of Tawheed, really stressed the issue of the sound Aqeedah. And you know that this Ummah has differed in this matter, he says, as he spoke about in this Khutbatul Jum'ah, his Friday khutbah that he gave, that the Ummah has differed in the matter even of Aqeedah. So the Sheikh, rahimahullah, was explaining the proper Aqeedah. So he said, let's not be lax and short in benefiting from the knowledge of the Sheikh. Sheikh rahimahullah, for he who wants success will get it from that way. There are many individuals who want success but don't obtain the proper knowledge. In order to achieve success, you must have knowledge of the haq, the truth, and the batil, that which is false. And this is very important to understand. For some people to understand that you must know that which is the haq so that you can act upon it, and you must know that which is the batil so that you can avoid it. And you must know the truth and the good and the bad. Then Sheikh Fawzi, hafizullah, goes on to say, the evidence of this is that Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, and we have sent to every nation a messenger saying, worship Allah, i'budullah, worship Allah, and avoid all false deities. So here Allah Ta'ala has given us two principles. The first principle is the principle of Tawheed, to worship Allah Ta'ala and to worship Him alone. The second principle is to avoid ta'ghut, to avoid the worship of anything or anyone alone besides Allah. So to be successful, the servant of Allah must be upon that haq, which is Tawheed, and he must avoid the batil, which is worship of ta'ghut. So here we have these two principles, sticking to the haq and ijtinab al-batil, or staying away from the batil, these two principles. The worship of Allah Ta'ala and staying away from that which is batil. And this is a point that the Hizbis don't understand, this issue of haq and batil. They say, for instance, the Hizbis, there's no need to know the batil, that you can know the haq and just take the haq. Know the truth and just take the truth. Read the truth and stick to the truth. There's no reason to read the books of the people of bid'ah and read the books of the people of other matters. There's no need for this whatsoever, for that will waste your time or whatever they say, but rather to take the truth. He said, this is wrong without doubt. This is wrong without doubt. For a person must know the batil so he can avoid it, and a person must know the haq so he can stick to it. It is, as Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, as Ibn Abdul Barr brings in the benefits of ilm, Jami' al-ilm wal-fatlih, that Abdullah ibn Mubarak, that great Imam, rahimahullah, said, know the mistake just like you know that which is correct. Know the khata, the mistake, just like you know that which is correct. And he means by this, you know the mistake so that you can avoid it and you won't fall into it, whereas Ahlul Batil the people of Bid'ah have done that. When they said that they only know the haq and they rejected the matter of knowing the batil, in their path or in their zeal to call to Allah, they fell into batil. They fell into bid'ah. So we must know the bid'ah and we must know the sunnah. We must know the sunnah so we act upon it. We must know the bid'ah so we avoid it. And we must understand this. The truth must be explained and talked about. The truth and the batil must be explained and warned against. This is the way of Ahl al-Hadith. This is how they remained upon the straight path. They did not go to the right, nor did they go to the left.
ومن أراد أن يعرف الحق فعليه بعلماء الدعوة السنية وعليه بعلماء الدعوة السلفية وعليه بعلماء الدعوة الأثرية. وشيخنا من علماء الدعوة السلفية الأثرية السنية. كان شيخنا فاضلا سنيا سلفيا أثريا، وكان رحمه الله تعالى ينال من المبتدعة والمتكلمة لإظهاره مذهب أهل الأثر، المذهب السلفي في الأصول والفروع، وقد تعصبوا عليه لإظهاره مذهب أهل السنة والجماعة، وكان قوالا بالحق داعيا إلى الأثر والحديث، لا يخاف الله لومة لائم. فالذي يظهر مذهب أهل الأثر المذهب السلفي فلا بد أن يعاديه أناس من أصحاب الأهواء من أهل البدع، لكن عليه أن يصبر ويحتسب الأجر عند الله سبحانه وتعالى كما كان شيخنا رحمه الله تعالى. فلذلك على أهل الإسلام أن يقتدوا بأمثال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى، وأن يقتدوا بأمثال الشيخ عبد العزيز بن باز والشيخ الألباني والشيخ ربيع والشيخ صالح الفوزان والشيخ الحيدان وأمثال هؤلاء العلماء، علماء أهل السنة والجماعة، لكي تعرف الحق وتأخذ به وتعرف الباطل وتجتنب هذا الباطل، وإلا سوف تبقى حائر في دنياك وفي آخرتك. وكن قوالا بالحق ولا تخاف الله لومة لائم، ولا تركن إلى أهل البدع وإلى أهل التحزب، حتى لو كنت وحيدا في بلدك وأنت على الحق وأهل بلدك على الباطل، فأنت يومئذ جماعة المسلمين وأنت كذلك الطائفة المنصورة. وإن كنت وحدك بمفردك فأنت تعتبر في هذا البلاد الطائفة المنصورة والفرقة الناجية وجماعة المسلمين، لأن جماعة المسلمين لا يلزم من ذلك الكثرة لكي تكون جماعة، لا، على إصابة الحق. فالمصيب الحق هو الجماعة، وكما قال ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه فيما أخرجه اللالكائي في الاعتقاد بإسناد صحيح: الجماعة موافق الحق ولو كنت وحدك. الجماعة موافق الحق ولو كنت وحدك. فهذا ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه يبين هذا الأمر، أن الشخص صاحب الحق هو الجماعة. ف فمثلا لو كان في بلد مليون على باطل وأنت لوحدك على الحق، فهؤلاء كلهم شاذون وهم أهل البدع وهم أصحاب الأهواء، وأنت الطائفة المنصورة وأنت الجماعة، فلا تركن إلى الكثرة، اثبت كما جاء في حديث ابن عباس صحيح مسلم، يأتي النبي ومعه الرجل والرجلان، ويأتي النبي ليس معه أحد، هل هذا النبي على باطل؟ لا، بل هذا النبي على حق، وهو الجماعة وهو الطائفة المنصورة وهو الفرقة الناجية، وما تبقى على باطل. فلا يلزم أن يكون معك أناس كثير في المنطقة لكي تكون على حق، لا، ما يلزم من ذلك، عندك العلم، علم الكتاب والسنة، فأنت على الحق، والآخرين على التحزب، على الباطل، على البدع، فهم أهل البدع، فهم أهل باطل، فلا تركن إليهم. فلذلك لابد أن ننتبه لهذه الأصول، هذه القواعد، لا يلزم من الكثرة لكي نكون على الحق، ولذلك هذا الأمر معيار عند أهل التحزب. فلذلك يأتي شخص فيقول لآخرين: ألا تنظرون إلى جماعة إخوان المسلمين كيف منتشرة في العالم وبكثرة، فهؤلاء على حق، ولذلك يسمون جماعتهم جماعة الصحوة، هذه جماعة الحصبة، مرض تعرفونه، هاي إخوان المسلمين الحصبة ليس الصحوة، مرض فتاق في الأمة والعياذ بالله. فلذلك ولا يجوز كذلك تسمي أمة الحق بالصحوة، لأن كلمة صحوة جاءت من النصارى، جاءت من النصارى، فلما النصارى تركوا دينهم النصراني وتركوا الكنائس وسكرت الكنائس، كما هذا المكان سكر وأصبح مكانا إسلاميا سلفيا، فأصحاب هذه الكنيسة تركوا الدين وسكروا الكنيسة ولجوا إلى المذهب الشيوعي، فلذلك كثير من النصارى تركوا الدين النصراني ولجأوا إلى الشيوعية، فعندما سقطت الشيوعية رجع منهم أناس إلى الدين النصراني مرة ثانية، فسموا هذه صحوة، فكانوا نائمون فصحوا بزعمهم فسميت الصحوة. فالأخوان المسلمون أخذوا هذه الكلمة، وهم يأخذون كل باطل، أي شيء يأخذونه ويكون أمرا طيبا عندهم يأخذونه، من اليهود، من النصارى، من أهل البدع يأخذونه، فأخذوا هذه الكلمة أخوان المسلمون ووضعوها اصطلاحا لجماعتهم. فلذلك لا يجوز التسمي بالصحوة، بل يقال الدعوة السلفية، الدعوة الأثرية، الدعوة السنية، وهكذا. نعم.
شيخ فوزي حفظ الله، شيخ that the Sheikh Hafiz Rahimahullah was a scholar, Sunni, Salafi, Athari, meaning that his dawah and his way was what, that upon the Sunnah, and that upon the Athar, and that upon the way the Salaf, meaning he was against the innovators. And he said he would speak about the innovators, those from Ahl al-Kalam and others, strongly. He would speak about them strongly and respond to them strongly, speak against them strongly. And this is the way of Ahl al-Athar and the way of those upon the dawah of Salafiyyah and the way of those who are in fact upon the Sunnah. And he would be strong in showing the madhab of the Salaf, the madhab of Ahl al-Sunnah, the madhab of the people of Athar. He said he was strong in saying the truth and sticking to it, calling to Athar and calling to the narrations and calling to Hadith, not fearing regarding Allah the blame of the blamers, not fearing the blame of the blamers. Anyone who has this type of character or these characteristics, he will make enemies from the people of Bid'ah. So upon him is to be patient like the Shaykh Rahimullah was patient. And upon him is to seek his reward from Allah Ta'ala, like the mashayikh that were before, the likes of Shaykh bin Baz, rahimahullah, and Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, and the likes of all the mashayikh upon that path, like Shaykh Rabi and Fawzan and others. These are the ulama of the sunnah. They speak the truth and they stick to the truth and they announce the truth and proclaim the truth and they don't fear the blame of the blamers. So for the one who wants the truth, he must stay up on their path. But if he doesn't follow that path, then he will stay confused in this world and the hereafter. In this world and the hereafter. He said, someone who is like this, it doesn't matter the amount of numbers that he has, that he will be upon the truth for the sake of the truth. And even if he's in a country by himself, and he is the only one upon the truth, and all the rest of the inhabitants of that country are upon batil, then he himself will be the jama'ah, the group. He will be the ta'if mansura, the victorious group. He will be the firqat najah, the saved group. Because he is with the truth. And it's the truth, or the one who matches the truth, is the meaning of the word al-jama'ah, or the jama'ah of the Muslims. It doesn't refer to the quantity or the great amount of people, but it refers being in accordance with the truth. And this is a statement he said that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said that Al-Laka'i brings that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said the jama'ah is that which agrees with the haqq, that which agrees with the truth, even if you're one person, even if that person is one, alone. So he said, for instance, in a particular country there might be a million people upon that which is false. And there might be one person up on the truth. Million people up on deviation. And this one person up on that which is correct. Then that individual, that one person is the jama'ah. That individual, that one person is the ta'if al-mansura, the victorious group. That one person is the firqat al-najiyah. And there's a narration of Ibn Abbas, the hadith of, that was related by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, in which the prophets of Allah were like this. That there will be a prophet of Allah and there will be one person with him. A prophet of Allah and there will be a group of men. A prophet of Allah and there will be two or three. And some prophets will come without anyone. There's no doubt that those prophets were upon the haqq. And their people were upon the batil. Those prophets were the saved group. Firqat al-najiyah. Those prophets were the ta'if al-mansura, the victorious group. And those who differ with them, they were on the falsehood and they were the people of batil. Even if they were a large quantity of people. Even if they were a large quantity of people. So this is a principle you must take. That you don't judge a matter by the quantity. But whether or not it is an agreement with the truth. Agreement with the truth. This is a principle. Don't look to the quantity, the numbers. But look to as whether or not it is in accordance with the haqq. With the truth. For this is the yardstick that the Hizbis judge by. That if they see a large crowd of people, a large quantity of people, they say, well, look at them. Ikhwan al-Muslimun, for instance, they've been around all this time, and their group is all over the earth, so therefore they must be up on the truth. And they call their group Jama'at al-Sahwa, or the group of the Muslims, of the Muslims awakening. And the Sheikh said, in reality, they are the Jama'at that has caused the sicknesses and the illnesses in the Ummah. He said, this call of Sahwa, awakening, is incorrect term, for it was taken from the Christians, when the Christians left their deen and closed up and locked up their churches, like this church or this place previously was a church, and now, alhamdulillah, the Muslims have taken it and placed it up on Islam and upon Salafiyya. But many of them closed their churches like this and left their deen and fell into communism. When communism and the strength of communism fell, then many of them came back to return to Christianity, and they considered that their prior state was one of being asleep. So therefore, what they're doing now is awakening. So they call it sahwa. So it's not permissible to use this. But Ahlul Bidah and the people of Hizbiyah take these terms. They take anything that's batil if it sounds good to them. From a Jew, from a Christian, or from Ahlul Bidah, it doesn't matter. If it sounds good to them, they use it. So Ikhwan Muslimun took that and used it, and used it as a terminology now for their particular movement of awakening. We cannot use this term of sahwa. What we are to use is the da'wah to Salafiyya, we can say. Da'wah Sunniyah, da'wah Athariyah, any of these terms is permissible, but not this Christian term of awakening or sahwa.
وشيخنا رحمه الله تعالى من أهل الاجتهاد المطلق في هذا العصر. والاجتهاد ينقسم إلى قسمين، اجتهاد مطلق واجتهاد جزئي. وشيخنا من أهل الاجتهاد المطلق الذي إذا أصاب فله أجران على اجتهاده وعلى إصابة الحق، وإذا أخطأ فله أجر واحد على اجتهاده ولا يأثم لأن من أهل الاجتهاد حتى لو أخطأ. فلذلك لا يجوز الكلام على أهل العلم أهل الاجتهاد إذا أخطأوا، لأن هذا الاجتهاد مغفور له كما ذكر شيخ الإسلام تيمية في منهاج السنة، أن أهل الاجتهاد إذا أخطأوا مغفور لهم ولا يجوز الكلام عليهم أو على خطائهم، لكن يبين أن هذا خطأ بلطف ولين واحترام وتوقير. وكذلك من ذكر ذلك أن أهل الاجتهاد المطلق إذا أخطأوا لهم أجر على اجتهادهم وخطأهم مغفور، أبو نعيم الصبهاني في الإمامة، وكذلك ذكر البغوي في شرح السنة ذلك، وذكر كذلك النووي شفع مسلم، وكذلك ذكر ابن القيم في إعلام الموقعين، وابن عبد البر في جامع بيان العلم، وذكر الشاطبي في الموافقات وفي الاعتصام. فلذلك فلا بد أن ننتبه لهذا الأمر، فلا يجوز الكلام على أخطاء العلماء لأنه مغفور لهم، لكن عند التبيين يبين أن هذا خطأ مع احترامهم وتوقيرهم، لا كتبين أخطاء أهل البدع وأصحاب التحزب من أهل الجهل. هذا بالنسبة للاجتهاد المطلق. أما الاجتهاد الجزئي كلو اجتهد شخص تمكن في مسألة أو في حكم أو في معنى حديث كما ذكر شيخ ابن تيمية في الفتاوى وكذلك من القيم، وأفتى فإن أخطأ هذا الطالب المتمكن ليس له أجر ولا يأثم، لكن الذي يقبل بجهل ويجتهد فيقول شيخ ابن تيمية إن أصاب فله وزر وإن أخطأ فله وزر، لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول ولا تقف ما ليس لك به علم إن السمع والبصر والفؤاد كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا. فلا يجوز لأي شخص أن يقبل على مسألة أو حكم أو حديث أو أي شيء أو أي حكم إلا متمكن من هذا الأمر، فإذا أقبل بجهل يقول شيخ الإسلام تيمية حتى لو أصاب فيأثم عليه وزن، كيف لو أخطأ فعليه وزن كذلك. ولذلك شيخنا رحمه تعالى من أهل الاجتهاد المطلق بشهادة الشيخ ناصر الدين الألباني وبشهادة الشيخ عبد العزيز بن باز وبقية المشايخ مشايخ الدعوة السلفية. قال الشيخ ناصر الدين الألباني رحمه تعالى عندما سئل عن الاجتهاد عن أهل الاجتهاد في هذا العصر فقال: لا يحضرني من أهل الاجتهاد في هذا العصر إلا فضيلة الشيخ الشيخ ابن باز وفضيلة الشيخ ابن عثيمين. من شريط مسجل، فهذا شاهد من أهل العلم على أن ما يحضر الشيخ الألباني من أهل الاجتهاد عندما سئل في هذا العصر إلا الشيخ ابن باز والشيخ ابن عثيمين. فلذلك لا يجوز الكلام على المشايخ، والذي يتكلم فلحوم العلماء مسمومة، لا يتضرر إلا هو. ولم يدخل شيخنا أبدا في علم الكلام ولا الجدال ولا خاض في ذلك، بل كان سلفيا أثريا قحا يأخذ عقيدته من المأثور عن الله جل شأنه في كتابه أو في سنة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم أو ما ثبت وصح عن السلف الصالح من الصحابة الكرام والتابعين لهم الفخام، حتى انتهى إلي علم التوحيد والعقيدة والحديث والفقه وغير ذلك من العلوم بالدليل، فرحمه الله رحمة واسعة. فإذا وجد الدليل من الكتاب والسنة أفتى بموجب ذلك، ولم يلتفت إلى من خالف الكتاب والسنة ولا من خالفه كائنا من كان. وشيخنا رحمه تعالى شرح الكتاب والسنة وقرب الكتاب والسنة أي ألفاظ الكتاب والسنة وأوضح مسائل الكتاب والسنة وبيان الراجح والمرجوح في المسائل، ولا يذكر الحكم إلا بالدليل والراجح. ولم يتعصب شيخنا لرجل بعينه من أئمة الإسلام، ولم يقلد ويتعصب لمذهب من المذاهب، بل كان قوالا بالسنة. قال عنه الشيخ ناصر الدين الألباني رحمه تعالى: لم يكن فضيلة الشيخ ابن عثيمين من المقلدين. هذا من شريط مسجل مع أهل الحجاز. ولم يكن يقدم على الحديث الصحيح عملا ولا رأيا ولا قول فلان ولا مذهب فلان، بموجب الدليل يحكم ويرجح ويناقش.
شيخ فوزي أثري، حفظه الله، says that Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله was a mujtahid mutlaq, that he was an absolute mujtahid, because the mujtahid or ijtihad is of two types: ijtihad which is total and ijtihad which is partial. The mujtahid mutlaq is the one who is able to do the ijtihad in those in matters of deen where there is not a text, and if he's correct, he is rewarded twice. Rewarded first of all for making his ijtihad to begin with, and secondly for being correct. And if he is incorrect, then there is no sin upon him, and in this respect he receives one reward and his mistake is forgiven. And it's not permissible to talk about his mistake. You can clarify the mistake by saying that there was a mistake in a gentle way, in a respectful way, without saying it with proper adab, without saying it incorrectly or whatever, but you don't talk about the sheikh in a disrespectful way, for his mistakes is forgiven. In this regard, as has been mentioned by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah in Minhaj al-Sunnah. So he said you can clarify the mistake,
but you don't use it as a means to find fault with the sheikh and talk about the sheikh in a very bad way. The fact that the mujtahid mutlaq will receive
wrong. He does not get a reward if he's right, nor does he get a sin upon him if he is mistaken in this regard. For he's just a student of knowledge and he is doing a partial ijtihad. Then he said there's the ignorant person who doesn't have any knowledge really. And he just says something that he believes to be correct. This one, whether he's correct or incorrect, if he's correct, he's sinning and he gets the sin. And if he's incorrect, he also gets the sin. Because he violates or goes against the verse in Quran which says, do not speak about that which you have no knowledge. Verily the talking and the heart, all of that will be asked about. So this must be understood. But Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, was an absolute mujtahid. And this is something witnessed for him by Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, with Sheikh Ibn Baz and other great scholars. For instance, Sheikh Nasruddin Al-Albani, rahimahullah, mentions on one tape, when he was asked about the people of Ijtihad in this time, he said, nothing comes to my mind regarding the people of Ijtihad in this time, except Fadil to Sheikh Ibn Baz and wa Fadila to Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen. And this is on a cassette recording with the people of Hijaz. So if the scholar makes a mistake, it's not to be talked about, for it must be understood that the flesh of the scholar is poisonous and that it will harm the individual. The only way the person will be harmed by the talking of that individual is that individual himself. He also goes on to say that the Sheikh, rahimahullah, was not somebody who entered into kalam, ilm al-kalam, wala jidal, argumentation, nor did he go into that at all, but rather he was salafiyyan, athariyyan, totally. He would take his aqeedah from that as related by Allah Ta'ala in his book, or from the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or that which is authentically proven from the Salaf Salih, from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, and those who followed them. He said, and to the degree that the knowledge of Tawheed and Aqeed and the Hadith and Fiqh with the Dalil is what he will present. What he will present. And he was not in any way a blind follower of anyone, but rather he would take with the Dalil, with what the evidence showed, and that's what he would follow. And he would make tarjih between those in the statements that were incorrect, or the position that would be incorrect and the position that would be correct. And he was not a blind follower of any one of the schools of thought. And this was witnessed by Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, rahimahullah, in which he said on a cassette tape that the Fadil of the Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, was not from Muqallideen. He was not from those who blind followed. And this is also on a cassette tape that was recorded with the people of Hijaz.
فجدد رحمه الله تعالى معلق في الناس من تقليد وتعصب وبدع إلى القول بالدليل والبرهان من الكتاب والسنة، لأن الله تعالى تعهد بالعلماء الربانيين المجددين على فترات يقومون بتجريد المتابعة للكتاب والسنة وشحذ النفوس للتعلق بهما والدعوة إليهما. وقد روى أبو داود في سننه بإسناد صحيح عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أن الله يبعث لهذه الأمة على رأس كل 100 سنة من يجدد لها دينها. ونحن لا نشك في أن شيخنا أبا عبد الله الأثر السلفي هو أحد هؤلاء المجددين، لقد كان عصره رحمه الله تعالى كما هو مشاهد يمر بالفساد والعقائد الفاسدة وظهور الشرك والتقليد والتعصب الأعمى للأحزاب والمذاهب، ومرافقه من تمرق المسلمين وضعف شوكتهم وطمع العدو بهم. كل هذا فرض على شيخنا أن يحمل لواء التجديد لمفاهيم الناس للدين في العقيدة والتوحيد والفقه والمنهج، فكان مجددا في هذا العصر، تنال بالإصلاح والتجديد هذه الأوضاع كلها.
Then Sheikh Fawzi al-Athari, hafizahullah, says, so the Sheikh revised and renewed and reinvigorated
would have been and stripped away would have been in the hearts of the people of taqlid and obstinate following of schools of thought and bid'ah. And he led them to the statement or to taking their deen based upon dalil and evidences from the book and the sunnah. Because Allah Ta'ala has taken this as a covenant from the scholars, al-Rabbaniyin, that they will revive the deen from time to time, that they will stand and specify the fact that only the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the book should be followed, that they will remove from what is in the hearts and minds of the people, and they will call the people to stick to kitab and sunnah. It has been related on authority in the narrations of Abu Dawood in his Sunan, with an authentic chain of narration that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu relates, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, verily Allah will raise for this ummah on the head of every 100 years someone who will revive for his deen. And we have no doubt whatsoever that, as he says, our Shaykh Abu Abdullah al-Athari al-Salafi, he is one of these mujaddideen. He is one of those who may touch deed or revive the deen. Because in his time, rahimahullah, there were many matters of corruption and many beliefs of corruption. And there was the appearance of shirk, and there was blind following, and there was blind following and sticking obstinately and blindly to groups and schools of thought. And what is connected to that is splitting and separating the Muslims and weakening them. And the fact that the disbelievers, the enemies, found what they wanted to find with them, what they desired for the Muslims, of weakness and whatever. So this became a matter that was obligatory on the Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih al-Faymain, rahimahullah, to carry the banner of tajdeed, of correcting the understandings of the people, and to correct their understanding regarding the deen, in the matters of aqeed, in the matters of tawheed, in the matters of fiqh, in the matters of minhaj. So therefore he was in fact a mujaddid in this time, because his way of correction dealt with all of these issues. All of these issues.
وأهل العصر أهل البدع وأهل التحزب أهل الفقه حملوا عليه منهم على المنافرة لتمسكه بالدليل ونسبوا إليه ما لم يقل به رحمه الله تعالى ولم ينظروا هؤلاء أهل التحزب إلى تصانيف الشيخ ولا فهموا كلامه رحمه الله تعالى ما الفخر إلا لأهل العلم إن هم على الهدى لمن استهدى أدلاء وقدر كل امرئ ما كان يحسنه والجاهلون لأهل العلم أعداء. وأصحاب الشيخ وطلاب الشيخ وأعداء الشيخ خاضعون, أي الجميع خاضع لعلمه وفقهه, معترفون بذكائه, مقرون بسرعة فهمه وبندور أخطائه, وخطأ الشيخ كما بينا مغفور له لاجتهاده, فموته رحمه وتعالى حدث جلل عظيم على الأمة كما بينا في المقدمة, كأن هذه الأمة قد فقدت عضو من أعضائها. فلذلك تجد كثير من الكتاب كتبوا في الشيخ ترجمة في المجلات والصحف, وله محبون كثيرون في جميع العالم لعلمه بالكتاب والسنة. وكما قال الإمام أيوب السختياني رحمه تعالى, أنه لا يبلغني موت الرجل من أهل السنة فكأنما أفقد به بعض أعضائي, أخرجه أحمد في العلل وابن أبي الدنيا في الأشراف وأبو النعيم في الحلية بإسناد صحيح. والله أسأل أن يغفر لنا وله لجميع المسلمين, وأن يجمعنا وإياه في جنات النعيم مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. اللهم فلك الحمد وإليك المشتكى, وأنت المستعان وبك المستغاث وعليك التكلان ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بك وأنت حسبنا ونعم الوكيل والسلام.
Sheikh Fawzi al-Azhari hafizullah says that those who lived at the time of the Sheikh rahimahullah from the people of thought and those of various madahib and people of innovation found fault with the Sheikh rahimahullah because of his sticking to the dalil, and they used to connect to the Sheikh rahimahullah that which he did not say, and they did not look into his books nor did they understand his words, and Allah's help is to be sought. Then he said the piece of poetry which means that there is no boasting except for the people of knowledge, because they are the people upon guidance, and be with them, and with them others are guided. And the level of every man is that which he is able to do well, and the ignorant are to the people of knowledge enemies. So he said, with that connected to that is that the people, the companions of the Sheikh, the students of the Sheikh, and the enemies of the Sheikh all admit and submit to the fact that the Sheikh was the possessor of knowledge and that he was the possessor of fiqh. And they all recognize the fact that he was very intelligent and that their intelligence was also coupled with quick understanding and the rarity of making mistakes. And as we said, the mistakes that he did make are forgiven by Allah Ta'ala based upon ijtihad, as we said in the introduction. So the death of the Sheikh rahimahullah is a great trial and tribulation upon the Ummah of Islam. For it's as if they have lost one of the limbs of their body. And Allah Ta'ala help us to be sought. He said many of the writers who wrote about the Sheikh in their magazines and their newspapers and others wrote the life of the Sheikh. And the Sheikh rahimahullah was loved by many in the world. Many of those who supported him and loved him based upon the fact that he was accorded to Kitab with Sunnah and the way to Salaf Saleh. It is as Imam Ayyub al-Sakhtayani says, rahimullah, verily originally that a man from the people of Sunnah dies, and it's as if I have lost one of the members or the limbs of my body. This is related by Ahmad and Ilal and Ibn Abi Dunya in a book called Al-Ashraf and Abu Na'im Fil-Hiyya with an isnad or chain transmission which is sahih. He then made dua asking Allah to forgive us all and forgive all the Muslims and gather us together with the Sheikh in his blessed gardens in the Jannah with the Nabiyeen and the Siddiqeen and the Shuhada and the Salihin. And these are the best companions to be with. And he said, for verily Allah is to praise, and to him we complain, and to him, and he is the only one whose help is to be sought, and with him is the one that we call upon and seek and call upon in need. And upon him we depend and trust, and there is no might or change except with Allah, and he subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for us, and he is the best of those who are the guardians or al-wakil. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala ahli wa sahbihi wa sallam. He only would take questions regarding the Sheikh. Other than that, he will not take any outside the subject. التلاميذ يسأل تلاميذ الشيخ أينهم لكي نلتقي به ونستفيد منهم. Who is the students of Sheikh Al-Muthaymeen so that we can find this person to study under.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. في بعض تلاميذ الشيخ محمد رحمه الله تعالى مثلا في الكويت كالشيخ حمد العثمان وله بعض المؤلفات وكذلك الشيخ سالم الطويل وكذلك في عندنا في البحرين الشيخ عيسى الحسن وكذلك في المملكة الشيخ أبا الخيل، وطلاب الشيخ كثير جدا، فممكن أن يطلع علي على هذا الأمر في ترجمة للشيخ. الآن خرج الكتاب كامل لترجمة الشيخ محمد، ممكن أن يطلع على تلازم الشيخ في هذا الكتاب. لكن على معرفتي بهؤلاء الطلبة على المنهج السلفي والعلم النافع ذكرت هؤلاء.
He said the students of the Sheikh, rahimahullah, are many. And then he mentioned some of them, which their names, if I miss any, I tape. And you can really refer back to the tape, actually, rather than just repeat the names. But nevertheless, he said, in Kuwait there is Hamad al-Uthman, and Abu Anas. He's well known here. And he mentioned also in Bahrain that there is the Sheikh Isa. And he mentioned that Abu Khal in the Mamlaka, Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And he mentioned that possibly that there is through the book, which is a full detailed book of the life of the Sheikh, is available, that individuals can look in that and find out further students of the Sheikh, because like you said, there are many, but he just mentioned those students who are upon the Minhaj al-Salafi and who have beneficial knowledge. أدب والأدب والخلق الشيخ رحمه الله. He's telling me about the manners of the Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen.
فهذا كذلك يعني أمر معروف، وأنا تركت أمور كثيرة للشيخ مدونة في هذا الكتاب، ترجمة الشيخ العلامة بن عثيمين الزاهد، فممكن أن يشترى وهو موجود. وذكروا عن مولده ونسبه وخلقه وكتبه ومشايخه وأمور كثيرة، لكن في هذا المقام نريد أن نبين منهج الشيخ ودعوة الشيخ إلى الكتاب والسنة، لأن وجدت أن بعض أو أكثر الذين ترجموا للشيخ ما ذكروا ذلك، وأن الشيخ سلفي أثري، فيذكرون ترجمة الشيخ كنسب ومولد، لكن ما وجدت من ذكر دعوة الشيخ ورد الشيخ على المخالفين وعلى أهل البدع. نعم.
This brief introduction about the life of the Sheikh that can be found in the book of about his life, the life of the Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad Saleh al-Faymain, the Zahid. He said in this book there is contained all these details about when the Sheikh was born and his lineage and his tribe and his manners and those who he studied with and all of this. But he said he wanted to mention in this sitting the Minhaj of the Sheikh. The fact that the Sheikh was a caller to Kitab and Sunnah, and the Aqidah of the Sheikh in his way, in his response to the people of Bid'ah, that the Sheikh was Salafi, Athari. He said because many of those who talk about the life of the Sheikh don't mention anything about this. They mention where he was born, they mention how he was raised and his manners and so on and so forth. They mention his tribe, but they never mention his da'wah. And this is what he was intending on doing in this brief sitting that we've had here.
وعندي أنا هنا أتيت برسالة لعدة مشايخ ترجمة للشيخ محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رحمه وتعالى، اسمها الدر الثمين في ترجمة العلامة بن عثيمين، وممكن أن تترجم. وذكروا المشايخ باختصار عن نسب الشيخ ومولد الشيخ ومشايخ الشيخ وخلق الشيخ، وهي موجودة لعله نسلمها للأخوان، وممكن أن تترجم وتطبع في هذه الأيام، فهي إن شاء الله مختصرة ومفيدة. أما الكتاب الآخر ترجمة الشيخ بن عثيمين الزاهد فهي في مجلد كبير، وهذه مختصرة الدر الثمين في ترجمة العلامة ابن عثيمين، وجمع ذلك بعض الأخوان من الطلبة عندنا وطبعت وموجودة.
Sheikh Hafizullah says that he's brought actually a small abridged version of the that's done by a group of students of knowledge and students of the Sheikh regarding the Sheikh's life in a general sense and mentioning all those things, but it's very abridged that he has brought it, and maybe he said he will give it to someone here and it can be translated and published and given at this time, because it's abridged and short and summarized, but it's very beneficial. But the other book that he is talking about is a big volume, he said. It's a very big volume, and it's a lot of detail to it. So, nevertheless, this is what he mentioned regarding that. He says this is the last of the su'ans, or the last of the questions. نعم. أخبرني عن الكتب الذي حفظ الشيخ، يعني حفظا يعني على ظهر القلب. الكتب الذي حفظ الشيخ يعني.
الكتب.
Can you please tell me the books that the Sheikh had memorized?
فشيخنا رحمه الله تعالى حفظ كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى وأعظم الكتب. فحفظ القرآن من الصغر. وكذلك حفظ بلغ المرام، وكذلك حفظ زاد المستقنع، وبلغ المرام معروف للحافظ ابن حجر، وزاد المستقنع كذلك في الفقه الحنبلي وبعض الكتب.
He said the Sheikh memorized رحمه الله the book of Allah, which is the greatest book. Memorized the Quran from a very early age. He also memorized Bulugh al-Maram by Ibn Hajar, Zad al-Mustaqni, which is regarding the Fiqh al-Hanbali, and other books like this. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.